Turning once again to our studies in the book of James, a whistle-stop study in the epistle of James. Now we come to chapter 4. We've been looking at this book with the overall title of Genuine Faith Demonstrated under the overarching text of chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We had an introduction, and then we came to chapter 1, which talked of endurance, which was our faith being tested. Chapter 2 was concerned with deeds, a genuine faith displayed. And then in chapter 3, last time, we came to the business of words, faith being proved. And now we come to chapter 4, which is concerned with thoughts. So deeds, words, and now thoughts. And this really is faith being contrasted. So firstly, when we're considering genuine faith, we find that it does not befriend the world. And so we read in verses chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So first of all, we're given the source of conflict. James asks the readers of his epistle to consider the source of wars and fights among themselves. And he identifies the problem as being their own selfish desires which war within them. And he describes their lust for the things that they don't have and cannot obtain, likening these things to war and murder. And he says that it renders their prayers fruitless, there, verse 3. And then he makes the point that friendship with the world is enmity with God, there in verses 4 to 6. He charges these are Christians he's writing, don't forget, but he charges them with adultery, for trying to befriend the world. Becoming a friend of the world leads to enmity with God. But if they're willing to humble themselves, God is willing to show them more grace. And then in the second half of the epistle, verses 7 to 17, we see that genuine faith draws near to God. And I'm going to take this in two bites. Firstly, verses 7 to 12. In drawing near to God, we do so by submitting to God's authority. So verses 7 to 12. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one to another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? See, James counsels his audience to draw near to God in humble submission, to come with clean hands and purity of heart, and to be in a condition of true contrition. And he warns against speaking evil of the brothers and judging one another, lest they become judges and not doers of the law. And then in the second part now, in verses 13 to 17, we see that genuine faith draws near to God, firstly by submitting to God's authority, but secondly by submitting to God's will, verses 13 to the end. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The point is, we've no idea what tomorrow holds. And life's short. And thus, this little chapter, chapter 4, ends with this call to make our plans with the Lord's will always in mind. You know, to do otherwise is to boast in arrogance and to sin when we fail, when we don't do what we know we should be doing, what's good. So, some thoughts in conclusion. You know, the Lord Jesus said, John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Well, one of the patriarchal fathers, the early fathers of the church, Tertullian, who lived between about 155 AD and 220 AD, when he was writing of the early church, contrasting it with the prevailing pagan culture of the day, he said, it is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See how they love one another, they say, for they themselves are animated by mutual hatred. He wrote that round about the year AD 197, so second century after the apostles had gone. You know, but speaking of the church at large today, people are more likely to say, see how they quarrel among themselves. See how they compete with one another. You know, why is the church prone to such failure? And the reasons are not new. And here they all are laid out before us by James. James is giving us a list, really, of things in this chapter that we should seek to avoid. The first being selfishness, there in verses 1 to 3. The conflicts among Christians are caused by the conflicts that are within. We want to please ourselves, even when it hurts others to do so. And if we're not careful, this leads to even our prayers becoming selfish. The second thing is worldliness, there in verse 4. We only need to look at the genuine faith of Abraham. We know that he was called the friend of God. And James refers to that in chapter 2, verse 23. But if we think of Abraham as our example par excellence, then we've only got to look to his nephew Lot, who we saw in his day chose to befriend the world. And look how that worked out for him. Read all about it in Genesis chapters 13, 14 and 19. And the Apostle John, in his first epistle, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, gave us this sound advice. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that neatly leads us into the next thing that James warns us about, which is really in verses 5 to 10, which is pride. And the thing to note, really, or to remember, is that pride is something that's in it. It is the original sin, pride, and covetousness, but pride primarily. And Satan knows how to use pride to defeat the Christian, just as he used it to defeat Adam and Eve all the way back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And so we must beware when pride begins to take hold in us. You know, we may think we're resisting the devil, but we might even be resisting the Lord. And then there is, in verses 11 to 12, the thought of a critical spirit. You know, an easy way of hiding our own sin is to expose the sin of others. And, you know, gossip and slander, it not only divides the family of God, it also grieves the Holy Spirit. And we must aim to be doers of the law, rather than judges of other people. And finally, James in verses 13 to 17 alludes to this boastful presumption. And Proverbs 27 verses 1 and 2 tell us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. And the bottom line, as I've already said, is this: life is short and the future is uncertain. So let's seek to do the will of God, to be doers of the will of God, instead of doing as the world would encourage us to do. And the overall key verse for chapter 4 I've given to you, I suggest, is verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen.